Larry Richard with our anchor man, Paul Rasmussen, and no doubt a lot of people smiling if you're a Steelers fan, and that is news in this town, or 3-0, Paul, as you mentioned. That's a good football team they beat yesterday in the Los Angeles Chargers.
They looked like a good team to me.
Well, they had the best running back, and on paper, the best defense.
Yeah, that's what I was most interested to see, is how was the Steelers' offense going to deal with that? And I thought that pretty well, considering. I mean, 20 points against the best defense in the league is not bad. There were the problem that the Chargers have is the injuries, though, I think is the big issue.
Right. Their quarterback went down again.
Yeah.
Jake Herbert, or Justin Herbert.
Justin, right?
What do you say, Jake? Jake Herbert's a wrestler from North Allegheny years ago, state champion. A shout out to Jake Herbert. Yeah. He ended up getting hurt again. He had an ankle issue, but he played, and then he got knocked out, and they brought in Heinicke, and he was
swarmed
under. Oh, man,
it's a long time since I heard that name.
Yeah, Taylor Heinicke, but defensive captain all-everything Cam Hayward was asked about playing the other defense and outplaying at least the one on paper that was better.
Got to. It's a competitive league. And, you know, week in and week out, you're going to have different challenges. This was against another great defense. So, you know, to start the game, it was, you know, who's going to bleed first and who's going to keep punching and keep fighting. And, you know, early on, they had a lot of success. But I thought we settled in, especially in the second half. And then, you know, blood in the water at the end where, you know, we got a 2-score lead. And so, you know, we can really pin our ears.
I love that. Blood in the water and we could pin our ears back. And they did, man. They swarmed under. How about they possessed the ball for the last 5 minutes of the game? That's a recipe for winning football. And keep in mind, on paper, Justin Fields is the backup quarterback.
Right.
And I don't know that they make a change.
No, definitely not. Yeah. Right?
Indianapolis.
Stay with the hot hand.
You're rolling. Why?
And I kind of wonder, like a team like Miami's in real trouble. They've got another quarterback that's injured. You're wondering to yourself,
Where you're going with this.
Well, yeah, but what could they get? I mean, the last time they made a deal with Miami, it was a good one, remember? Picked up Minka Fitzpatrick.
Oh, yeah.
That was a brilliant move. What could we get back? You know, Russell probably wants to play somewhere. And it's not his fault that he's not playing right now. It's just the way it worked out.
He probably wouldn't mind playing in Miami if he's going to play. And they need, they're not very good without Tua. So he's out indefinitely with a concussion issue.
I wonder if his career is over. I really wonder if it is.
You're getting the sense that he wants one more go at it. But still,
yeah.
I mean, it's tenuous at best. So maybe they trade with Philadelphia and get Kenny Pickett.
Something's going to happen.
Yeah, so
something's going to happen.
Meanwhile, your Pittsburgh Steelers are 3-0 heading into Indy, and then they'll be back home a week from Sunday against the Dallas Cowboys.
Mm.
That'll be a big night, Sunday night football. Meanwhile,
so I was up at Pittsburgh Mills just a couple of weeks ago and driving around in there and seeing the condition of the roads, which have been patched up for the most part. There's potholes everywhere. But in the parking lot, there are big potholes out by the Galleria area, where apparently they haven't been fixed for a long time. And to give you some idea of the trouble that this is creating, Fraser Township is suing over it. State Representative Mandy Steele, Larry, talked with KDKA-TV about the mess in the parking lot.
That is a recipe for disaster. People swerving into other lanes to avoid potholes. Combine that with people who are exceeding the speed limit. It is truly a dangerous situation. I urge people to use caution at the Mills.
Wow.
It's sad. To me, this whole story about the Mills, it was supposed to be this huge destination. At one point, they were talking about some kind of NASCAR thing there in the original plans, and to draw people, a destination point for that, right off at 28, you know, you could draw from the city, from the north, and it never caught on.
Well, you know, it was fairly busy up there, you know, where I went. The Walmart was very busy. The parking lots outside of some of the big box stores were pretty full. But you get over toward the Galleria, you've got an empty what is it, like a former hamburger shop of some kind, Steak and Shake. It's empty. It's just sitting there.
You know a mall's in trouble when some of the stores on the main floor are selling moist towelettes. That's...
Yeah, you're right, though. I have not been inside the Galleria in many, many years. But
it's a shame.
When I was there, it was pretty bleak.
They had, you know, one of those great theaters. I don't know. Is the theater still open?
I don't know. But that's the reason I was there.
They had an IMAX screen.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I just thought, I kind of rooted for this to work, but it didn't happen. The timing, you know, for the malls overall. I mean, look at Century 3 Mall was the destination point. And other malls have had their challenges. Now, the Ross Park Mall has a lot of unique stores, and they've been able to maintain, you know, enough traffic because they've got stores that nobody else has. So if you want to go to a Nordstrom's, you got to go there. Or Tiffany's or some of these other places. Meanwhile, we got the mayor coming in, 9 o'clock in studio. We're going to ask him about the city finances and the investment into the draft and what kind of economic impact that'll have.
Push back from some city council members on spending $1 million as a part of the bringing the draft here to the city.
I realize that it sounds like a lot of money, but just standing back of what potentially utilized properly can bring in, it's a real investment, in my opinion.
Well, the economic impact is going to be somewhere in the hundreds of millions of dollars, if I'm remembering it right.
Right. And the challenge is that COVID with the occupancy rates for businesses in the city is, you know, an epidemic across the country. For the most part, it's hard to get people to come back to the office. And last week, Amazon said by the first of the year, they're going to require all their employees to be back. Either you're in or you're out. And I would think a lot of companies at this point will start to follow suit.
I read an interesting article about that story over the weekend, and they focused on a person who has been working remotely for Amazon for quite some time, who is now confronting having to make a job change because,
right,
you know, he doesn't want to have that commute, nor does he want to move or upend the lifestyle that his family has been enjoying and the school that one of his children attends, that type of thing. So he's going to have to find something else.
Well, I understand that.
If he wants to, you know, have the life he's been living, which is, you know, high quality life, for at least from what I could see in the article.
Well, think about it. You're not in traffic for an hour. Let's just say the average commute is either an hour. In this town, it's probably around 45 minutes.
Yeah, lucky. Lucky for me, it's 30.
The rush hour sitting in traffic, man, feels like you're wasting time, right?
Yeah.
Both ways. If you're a traditional, you know, kind of 9-to-5 job, now you can eliminate that, right? You're working from home. And in a lot of cases, you had to pay for parking. And the parking rates downtown have skyrocketed. And so you're not paying those fees. And to be honest, what about lunches? You know, a lot of people might have gone out to get some grab-and-go lunch or, you know, something more expensive than they could do at home. And then there's childcare issues for families who are able to handle more by being at home. So it's hard to just say, well, you need to come back to work. If they can do it from home, they got a good argument.
Yeah, I think you're right.
So we'll see, though. I think there's going to be a hybrid situation. In some cases, to attract people to come to a new job, they've offered them the ability to do that, where you can be hybrid. But there's a value of being face-to-face with your coworkers.
At least once or twice a week, you know, but not every day. It doesn't seem to me.
A hybrid situation. In our case, we are separated by glass. You're like in a hermetically sealed room.
As well I should be.
As well you should be, and so is Aaron. I always joke it's like an aquarium here. You have 5 radio stations. You just walk from tank to tank and look at the species that's in our sports species. You got the country music.
Wow.
You got modern music. You got Whammo. So everybody's different. It's kind of fun. But definitely there is a major push to get more and more people back in the office, which will help the, you know, the economy of cities and tax rolls and commercial real estate, because everything kind of feeds off of that.
How long has it been since we started letting people, you know, come and go? I mean, it's been years here. Since the pandemic, basically, after the pandemic kind of eased and we started easing back into maybe a meeting a week. But
our sales staff and many of the office personnel are on a hybrid situation. Yeah. Some in, some days. I mean, there's a couple days where they have these meetings face-to-face. So yeah, that's kind of the new world.
And there's Wednesday, which is pizza day.
That's
important.
That
usually gets a big crowd, too.
Face it. That's why you got into this business. Free T-shirts, hats, and pizza. A little rain overnight, a few scattered showers around the region, most of those from the city east right now, but off and on we'll have a chance. So we'll check in with meteorologist Joe Lundberg here in just a few minutes. Paul Rasmussen at our anchor desk. Hope you had a nice respite.
I did.
Do anything exotic or fun?
Nothing I can repeat. No, I'm just joking around.
Detaching is good.
Got a big project finished at home. Want to send my shout out to Lou the handyman, who does a lot of work for us up here at the station.
Everybody needs a Lou.
And he's terrific, but he got a drain installed for me in front of my door.
My guy in the neighborhood, his name is Pete. Pete is that guy that has all the tools, can fix anything.
Mm-hmm.
It's got tractors, got, you know, you name it. He's got it, and he's the go-to in the neighborhood. So if you need something, and you got Lou.
Aaron,
do you and Vinny have somebody in the neighborhood that can be that go-to guy to fix stuff?
So Vinny has literally one of his closest friends is probably more than double his age, and he knows everything about cars. He knows everything about cars. So just like if my oil needs changed or anything, he goes, drop it off at Mike's house. I'll meet you there. So I would say Mike is our only
Mike's
guy right now. Yes.
There used to be a guy named Nick. He passed away years ago at a hardware store in Wexford. He had his own hardware store. He knew everything. Like, hey, Nick, I hate to ask you a dumb question. He kind of roll his eyes a little bit like, okay.
He's like, ask me whatever you want. I'll
and then when you answer. Ask him, you know, he'd say, okay, this, and this. Boom. Here's how you do it. Well,
everyone,
I'm glad your drain is fixed.
Yeah, that is that's a big project. Water was pooling up right there at the threshold of my door, and it was doing some damage to the door frame. And
I'm curious, though.
Yeah.
Do you, as a newsman, on vacation, do you make a conscious effort to detach a little bit?
I detach completely.
From the news.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, for example, you know, I would check like once a day on what's going on, but you know what I mean. Not like the life of immersion that we live when we're doing it.
Correct. Because it goes on all day.
Yeah.
And evening, as Aaron can attest to, with late texts about guest changes. By the way, in less than a half an hour, Dan Zangrilli, who's our play-by-play extraordinaire high school football and basketball leader, has a big announcement.
He does.
He wouldn't even tell us.
Okay.
But it's coming up right after the news at 7. And in the meantime, we've got the mayor, Ed Gainey. We're going to talk to the mayor on a 9 o'clock hour. We've got Lenny McAllister coming in, our homegrown political analyst. And I try to detach over the weekends from the politics because we're so immersed in it all week here.
Mm-hmm.
But just kind of a recap, here's CBS's Naomi Ruckham.
Vice President Kamala Harris raised $27 million at a fundraiser here in New York over the weekend, her largest financial win since claiming the top of the Democratic ticket. This as early voting is already underway in some states, and the prospect of another presidential debate seems dead in the water.
Join me on the debate stage.
Vice President Kamala Harris urged former President Donald Trump to debate her again yesterday after she accepted CNN's invitation for a late October debate. But over the weekend, Trump declined.
The problem with another debate is that it's just too late. Voting has already started.
Indeed, early voting began Friday in South Dakota, Virginia, and Minnesota.
I'm voting for all the Democrats, every last one.
I voted this time for Trump.
It comes as new CBS polls show the vice president with a slight edge nationally and in the battleground states. Harris has also made gains with voters who say the economy is a major factor, now just 6 points behind Trump.
I'm going to be giving a speech this week that is really to outline my vision for the economy.
Meanwhile, Trump was asked if he thinks he'll run again in 4 years if he loses in November.
No, I don't. I don't see that at all. I think that hopefully we're going to be successful.
While campaigning in North Carolina over the weekend, Trump made no mention of GOP gubernatorial candidate Mark Robinson, who's come under fire over inflammatory posts he allegedly made on an adult website. The Harris campaign is airing ads in an attempt to link the two in the must-win swing state. Trump's running mate, Ohio Senator J.D. Vance, hits the trail in North Carolina today. When asked about the state's Republican candidate for governor, Mark Robinson, in an interview over this weekend, he said, quote, allegations are not reality, adding that the issue will play out in the court of public opinion.
43 days until the political ads end. That's how I'm looking at it right now. Meanwhile,
tick-tock, right?
In New York, a big gathering of many of the nation's leaders in the world for a lot of issues to discuss, which have nothing to do with our politics at the moment. There are other fish to fry there. And so this will be an important weekend. I would imagine, can you even in your wildest dreams figure out how they're trying to secure these leaders all in New York, all in the same place? That's got to be a challenge with these, you know, new devices that these explosions took place against Hezbollah. I think a lot of people, it's just overwhelming to think about it.
The report that I read this morning, following up on that thing, and a matter of fact, we have new developments, by the way, in Israel and Lebanon this morning. I'll have that in about 15 minutes. But as I was reading that, apparently the Israelis were able to intercept a shipment of these pagers that was going to go to Hezbollah, and they were able to tamper with them in such a way that they could then use them to explode. It's just like something out of a spy movie.
Right. And Leon Panetta, the former Secretary of Defense, was interviewed yesterday, and he was saying, you know, this may open a new can of worms for this kind of back and forth. There's a lot of serious issues to deal with at these meetings in New York, the United Nations. So we'll keep you posted. And coming up, we're going to check in with meteorologist Joe Lundberg. Rain, what's that? Let's check in with meteorologist. We've got Joe Lundberg at AccuWeather's headquarters. Joe, good morning.
Hey, good morning, Larry.
So this is finally a week where we're going to see off and on the chance of some showers here for the next few days, right?
Yeah, the heaviest of the showers, as you mentioned, is off to the east of the city now, but I think they're going to regenerate, you know, along the Ohio border and work their way eastward. So we're going to see a couple more showers and maybe a thunderstorm during the course of the day today. I think things kind of settle down this afternoon, and then tonight's quiet, but we get back into it tomorrow. In fact, as an area of low pressure trucks northeastward to our north, there could be some heavier downpours across there. It's really our best shot of rain for the entire week, or the day that has the most rain in it across the area.
This has not been the pattern for a long time.
No, it's not. I mean, the month of September has been extraordinarily dry. You know, it was, so far we've had, what, 0.61 inches? I guess if you add the 100th that we had at the airport, man, we're up to 0.62, well below average for this time of the year. And September is not necessarily a wet month to begin with, but this has been extraordinarily dry. We'll play catch-up here this week, and then we'll have to see if any of the moisture from the system trying to develop in the tropics can get this far north. Right now, it looks like most of that stays to our south and west.
Jeez, Joe, less than an inch in just over 3 weeks. What's typical for September?
The whole month would be 3.3. For month to date would be 2.5 inches. So we're well below normal for the month. It's going to help out the fall colors pretty nice, but the streams and aquifers could really use some rain right now in the gardens and lawns. And our, like I said, our best shot's tomorrow. Then after that, I don't think much happens for the rest of the week. Shower here and there on Wednesday, probably dry on Thursday and Friday.
So what you're saying, Joe, is we're abnormal.
Exactly.
Okay. Do make a note of that.
I will.
Joe, appreciate the update. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Meteorologist Joe Lundberg at AccuWeather. Coming up right after the news at the top of this hour with Paul Rasmus and Dan Zangrilli, our resident play-by-play voice and the man behind our high school football and basketball coverage, has got an announcement. Aaron, you don't know what it is. You won't tell me. So I got to wait and listen, too. So we'll find out what's on Dan's mind. And I've got maybe good news or bad news, Paul. Aaron, if you travel, there's a sale of a budget motel chain.
Motel 6 will be under new management soon. Parent company Blackstone has agreed to sell the hotel chain to India-based Oyo in a deal worth $525 million. The agreement includes the company's Studio 6 locations and is expected to be wrapped by the end of the year. There are more than 1,400 Motel 6 locations across the U.S. and Canada.
You ever stay at a Motel 6?
Yeah, I have in the past. They're pretty handy. Generally speaking, they're close to off ramps and exits, and you know, you just drop in real quick.
He's going to leave the light on for you?
Yeah, that's Tom Bodette.
Tom Bodette. Do you ever stay at a Motel 6, Aaron?
I don't think I have. Maybe once.
Do you know how the name Motel 6 came to be?
I do not.
When they opened the first one up, they said, you know, $6 is our rate for the night. Back in the day.
$6.
Holy moly.
Yep. Been a long time.
You can't get a toilet paper roll for $6.
Exactly.
Right.
I stayed at a Motel 3 once.
But that was something.
Motel 3.
PJ Fitzpatrick, Home Improvement Traffic Center. Good morning. Welcome to a new week in the first full day of fall. Larry Richard with our anchorman, Paul Rasmussen. And Paul, I know you were off last week, and we were shocked when Dan Zangrilli said Friday that he had a special announcement. And here he is on our video V-Mix, we call it. You can see Dan on the radio at kdkradio.com.
Long live the king.
And Dan is here with this special announcement, Dan. What in the world have you got going on? I saw it on all social media over the weekend. What's going on?
So we're really pleased to announce, in conjunction with the WPIAL, a Selection Saturday radio program coming up on October 28th at 1 o'clock. What does that all mean, Larry? It means that the playoff pairings, the brackets, will be revealed live on 100.1 FM and AM 1020, as well as the KDKA YouTube High School Sports Channel. It's much like what you would see Selection Sunday for basketball, where we will announce the brackets, the pairings, who's going where, who's playing who, the day after the regular season ends. It's going to be must-watch TV, if you will. And, of course, must-listen content. The only way that you can find out who's playing who in the playoffs is right here at KDKA.
Well, that is a big deal for everybody that follows high school football. I mean, I can't believe it's coming down to playoffs really soon, right?
It is. We're actually at the halfway point at the end of Friday. So, believe it or not, basically a month from now, we're going to be talking postseason. And, of course, KDKA is committed beyond the regular season to the entire postseason. We're going to broadcast every single championship game, all six. And then if Western Pennsylvania teams make beyond the District 7, the WPIAL phase, then we are going to follow those teams all the way to the state championship the first week of December. So we're fully committed. And this is just another big step in our ever-growing high school sports platform. So Selection Saturday, KDKA, mark your calendars, 1 p.m. Saturday, October 26th, exclusively on KDKA. You can hear the playoff matchups.
Tell us more. We're with Dan Zangrilli, our voice of high school football and our exciting Friday Night Lights coverage and so much more. Dan wears many hats here at the plant. But this KDK radio, this YouTube channel, so people can find that as well.
Yeah, so all you have to do is look up KDKA High School Sports. We launched our documentary on Aliquippa Up Camp a couple of weeks ago, where we followed Aliquippa, and we were able to platform it there. YouTube obviously is a terrific platform, so folks will be able to watch. We will also stream this on Twitter. We will also stream this on Facebook as well. So there's going to be many platforms in which you could watch and, of course, listen. All the ways you could listen to KDKA, folks know about that through the Odyssey app, through the smart speaker, 100.1, 1020. So we want to make this content as accessible as possible because, again, the only way that you could find out who is going where, who is playing who, it's such a big deal. We've heard stories in the past of watch parties, folks gathering in restaurants, at folks' houses, in auditoriums, because of the excitement, especially if you're a school that doesn't make the postseason all the time and you have a really good year. They're really excited to see who you're going to play. So there's a number of different ways that you could watch, number of ways that you could listen.
All right, who do you got this Friday night?
So it's the heavyweight showdown, 6A, big one between North Allegheny, Central Catholic. I was researching some of the history, Larry, between the two heavyweights since Art Walker took over as head coach at North Allegheny, which goes back to 2005. 17 matchups. North Allegheny has a slight advantage, 9-8. The teams played one of the more memorable, epic championship games last year, 44-41. North Allegheny wins their second championship. So it's a rematch, and we've got it for you on KDKA this Friday. One of the best games that we have on the slate all year.
All right, Dan, appreciate it. I'll see you here at the plant. Thanks for the special announcement.
Yeah, thanks, Larry.
That's Dan Zangrilli. We got the best coverage high school sports in America here on KDK. Very proud of the work our team does each and every Friday night. And if you haven't, you're just driving around, maybe you're going out to dinner or going to a show, tune in and you'll see what I'm saying on the radio.
Third and three, Fields, open field, and a touchdown. Well, after no signs of life the first three series, the Steelers this time go 70 yards for the touchdown.
CBS's Jim Nantz with Tony Romo yesterday on KDK TV. The Steelers home opener, boy, really strong in that second half, and Justin Fields did himself justice. Let's check in with our Odyssey sports director. We've got Jeff Hathorn, who's up and about and busy this morning. Jeff, 3-0, and Indy they go next weekend. Good morning.
Good morning. I know you predicted an unbeaten season, so they only have, 17 more to go, including that Super Bowl title.
Oh, man, it's a long, long road. However, they have found a way with, on paper, the backup quarterback to win three games in National Football League in a row for any team anytime. That's an accomplishment.
It is, and it's nice to have a backup quarterback that's basically started for 3 years. I mean, they redid the quarterback room, and you're not bringing in a rookie as a backup or someone that's 37 who is a backup. You're bringing in someone that probably still hasn't hit the prime of his career as your backup quarterback. Listen, let's be honest. They were helped with some penalties in that second half on sportsmanlike, roughing the passer, a key holding call, but they still were able to make some plays. Here's what I think is different, Larry. We've seen it in the past with this team, with this offense, where it's taken time for them to find their identity. They know their identity, and I think that helps them work through when they have the three and outs or they have struggles because they know exactly what they want to do.
Jeff, the Steelers being 3-0, plus you add in right now the other two colleges are undefeated. This hasn't happened since 1982. That's wild.
Yeah, this is pretty fun, isn't it? If you're a local sports fan and if you love volleyball or soccer, it gets even better for you. So it has been a good fall. Pitt football is I mean, they had a game where they were scoring at will. They scored as many points in a game as they did in a month last year. That was good to see, even with the competition. But yeah, it's stepped up. It's been a good month. Got to keep this going.
Yeah, you're right. Pitt wins, and if you're a local fed, Penn State wins. Even West Virginia came from behind to win. Duquesne won. Jerry Schmidt's 150th win, and also with the Steelers rolling, this town is kind of buzzing right now. Even the Pirates won yesterday. And, Jeff, did you know, right before kickoff, the Steelers brought out three-time Stanley Cup champions Chris Letang and Evgeny Malkin, who ran out of the tunnel and onto the field with the terrible towels. Letang sporting a Jack Lambert number 58, and Malkin with a Troy Polamalu 43. Now, the crowd went absolutely crazy. And, Paul, you pointed out they're already playing preseason games in hockey. So this is, if you're a sports person in this town, things are going our way right now.
Yeah, they're only a couple of weeks from starting the season. And, yeah, they're feeling good about, you know, where the Penguins at. You just got Sidney Crosby to a contract extension. Like, yeah, you're right. Things are looking up. And, hey, in baseball, you got Paul Skeens in your future going forward. So, you know, feel a little better about that, too.
Hey, man. Jeff, one quick question for you. I read somewhere over the weekend yesterday about the Steelers when they start the season 3-0 that some pretty good things have happened in the past.
Seven times they've started 3-0, and every time they've won the division.
Well, based on the way the division's playing, that wouldn't be, you know, too hard to imagine, because Cleveland. What's wrong with
them? They stink on ice, man.
They left the Giants at home, sacked Deshaun Watson six times and lost that game. And Cincinnati plays tonight, and obviously they've had a slow start. The Ravens managed to win. They almost gave it away yesterday to Dallas, but the division is ripe for the Steelers to take.
It is. I mean, it has been a slow start for the other teams, and Dallas just couldn't finish that comeback yesterday, or it would have been even better. Listen, there are going to be more hardships. There are still some questions, but the Steelers have found a way to win these games. And yesterday being the biggest test, again, people say, well, Herbert was hurt, and he was, but you still have to win those games. How many times have we watched the Steelers team play a quarterback that was hurt or a quarterback that no one had ever heard of? And you're looking up at the scoreboard, and you don't have enough points at the end of the game. So they're finding ways. And I think what's smart about the way they're attacking this is their best players are on defense. They're letting them make plays, and then, you know, they're doing what they need to do on offense. And hopefully they'll do a little bit more on that side of the ball.
Coach Mike Tomlin said, "Yeah, they want the Steelers defense to be the best.
They just want to be the best defense on the field. They respond to those things and take those challenges very personally, and they played like it."
And keep in mind, the Chargers coming into Pittsburgh were on paper the best defense statistically, and they had the best run game in the league. So kudos to this team is special somehow. You could just feel it.
You know, Larry, in the second half, they allowed -5 yards. -5 yards. And J.K. Dobbins, who had some runs in the first half, had 4 carries for 5 yards in the second. And so it's a team that really is finding itself. It's early in the year. Again, there'll be more challenges ahead.
Hey, Jeff, think about this. The Steelers are the NFL's first team since the 2009 Denver Broncos to allow 10 or less points in 3 straight games to start a season. That's how good they are.
Wow.
And it turns out, I mean, look at Atlanta last night. They took Kansas City right to the brink. Denver had a nice win yesterday over Tampa Bay. So you might look at the competition, but maybe those teams they played the first 2 games aren't that bad.
All right. So we can assume Justin Fields is going to start against Indy, no matter what's up with Russell Wilson's calf.
I would never assume anything. And I feel bad for Russ. He's come in, he's done everything he needed, and this calf injury has really sidelined him. But
I wouldn't assume anything, but I can't imagine how you could walk into that room and look those guys in the eye and say, we're going to make a change.
And we'll see. And tomorrow at noon, Mike Tomlin will address the media horde, of which Jeff is an intricate part of. Jeff, appreciate it this morning. Thanks for the time, brother.
Thanks, guys.
Jeff Hathorn, our Odyssey sports director, and you know, Steeler fans.
Really good stuff, Larry.
Feeling really good right now. It's a good feeling. Every Monday at this time in the Big K Morning Show, we check in with Brian Caranta, Secure Money Advisors on the money with Secure Money. Brian, good morning. I assume you watched some of the Steelers game.
You know, I wish I did, but I didn't. I had two little kids that were going crazy yesterday at the trampoline park.
Oh, yeah. Well, I've been there, brother. Been there.
It was a good day. But I'll tell you, it's, you know, going to the trampoline park on Sundays when football's back on is a pleasure because you got the whole park to yourself. So my wife and I were pretty worn out at the time we got home yesterday.
Understood. So next week they're on the road in Indy, and then next Sunday, a week after, they're at home against the Dallas Cowboys. So kids should be in bed by the time kickoff then. That's at 8:20.
Let's hope, because I hope to watch some football this year. You know, last year I didn't get to watch a whole lot. But, my friends keep telling me that it's easier as these kids get older, so we'll see.
It just as they get older.
It changes. Bigger, it changes, right?
Yeah, it does. All right, let's talk about, this is a subject that is misunderstood by a lot of people, life insurance, because it can take on many faces, correct?
It does, yeah. And people, you know, usually are, the question is, you know, should I keep it? Should I get rid of it? We'll see a lot of people come in and say, look, nobody's really depending on me anymore. You know, all the kids are grown. They're doing better than me. You know, what should I do with this life insurance policy? Should I keep it or should I get rid of it? And so there's a few things that you really need to think about before you cancel it, because there are some good ways that you can leverage your life insurance. And really it's about maximizing your overall plan and strategy, not only for your income and retirement, but also your estate planning when you pass. So, but you want to first look at why you bought the policy in the first place. And if those needs are truly gone, for example, if no one's depending on your income anymore, that's a big factor. Like for me, very important that I have a lot of life insurance right now with the two little kids. But then you have to ask, does a policy have any cash value? Many people don't realize that if you have permanent life insurance, there's permanent life insurance, there's term life insurance. Permanent life insurance builds up a cash value over time. So that money you could surrender for cash, you could use it to pay premiums or even borrow against. And some policies could fund themselves with the cash value. So a lot of times what I'll see is people will have money in the cash value of their policy and they say, I don't even want to pay for this anymore. Well, I'll tell you what, if you don't want to pay for it anymore, we can call the insurance company. The cash value inside the policy could pay for the premiums. You don't have to pay for the premiums anymore. But when you die, there's still a nice tax-free death benefit there. And this is the one thing about life insurance, Larry, is that people don't realize that it's a great way to leave money to your family, because it is one of the only assets that you can leave that is 100% tax-free to your family. There's a strategy that we use called spend it twice. So think about it like this, very, very simple. Let's say you got $1 million in retirement savings and you want to spend all of that money with you and your spouse, but you want to leave $1 million to your kids. All right, well, let's spend all of the money that you've saved in your retirement accounts, all $1 million. We can spend that down to zero of your lifetime so you can have a very aggressive spending strategy. And then we can leave a $1 million life insurance policy to the kids or to any family members you want, and that will be 100% tax-free versus retirement accounts that can be taxable at whatever the kid's income tax rates are. So, you know, in a case of a kid inheriting a retirement account, you could look at 40% of that money being wiped out in taxes, whereas a life insurance policy, 0% is wiped out in taxes because it's tax-free.
Wow. When you think about it that way, especially the tax-free portion of what you just said to leave to the kids or the family, however you want to distribute that. I didn't realize that was really the only vehicle that there was available to do that.
Yeah, that and a Roth IRA, and that's it. So, you know, for my family, you know, now I've been doing financial planning for 25 years, so I understand a lot of people look at life insurance as an expense. I look at it as an asset because it's one of the greatest ways to leave wealth to your family. Not only if something happens to you prematurely, but, you know, if you live a long, healthy life, even into your 90s when you pass, there's a lot of money that can be left on a tax-free basis. And it becomes a really great planning tool later on in life, especially when you're looking to distribute your assets to beneficiaries.
Ryan, are you noticing more and more people are pushing off retirement in general? I mean, full retirement, but they still have to strategize and plan through that process.
Yeah, because the biggest challenge for people, Larry, is the fact that nobody's getting a pension anymore. So a lot of people just don't know if they've saved enough money to retire. And one of the things that we do at Secure Money Advisors is show people how to take 30, 40 years worth of work and give them a strategy that they can rely on that gives them the confidence to be able to retire and take the money they want. What you'll hear from a lot of people is, what if I start taking this money out of my retirement account and the markets don't cooperate? Yeah, I understand. That's a big concern. You start taking money out, markets aren't doing well, and you start losing money on top of taking money out. You can see very quickly how basic math, you're going to run out of money very quickly. So yeah, there's a lot of insecurity when it comes to when I'm going to be able to retire. But, you know, I want to encourage people, you know, the insurance companies today have gotten very smart. And one of the best ways that you can give yourself the peace of mind and security that the pensioners used to have is by simply utilizing annuities as a strategy, as part of a strategy. You don't want to put all your money in something like that, but you got to have something that no matter what happens to the markets, no matter what happens to the political environment, you have something that's going to be guaranteed to pay the basic expenses in your life.
RightTrackPittsburgh.com. Ryan Caranta, Secure Money Advisors. All right, Brian, have a great week and great information. You can also call and get a complimentary analysis, 800-656-8616. Ryan, thank you. Have a great week.
Take
a chance for you to win two tickets to see the Dave Matthews Band, November 15th, PPG Paints Arena, 412-922-1020. Pick a number, Aaron. From one to a million.
You keep giving me this wide range.
I'm trying to tease you.
Of numbers. I'm going to do caller number three.
All right. 412-922-1020. Caller number three. We'll send you to see Dave Matthews. Monday, we went through the autumnal equinox at 844 yesterday morning. Did you notice a change? I didn't, but here we go. And Mondays, now through our political season, we're 43 days away from the election, and we have our resident political analyst, Lenny McAllister, in studio with us. Lenny, good morning.
Good morning. And you didn't feel that?
I didn't feel the change until after the Steeler game was over, and I thought something's different.
Yeah, that's called adequate quarterback play, but that's different than the equinox.
That was fun. Were you able to watch some of the game or all
I
of the
actually
game?
Was supposed to have a buddy come up from South Carolina. He couldn't at the last minute. So I was at the game yesterday. Yes. What a rare Sunday off.
Wasn't that great?
It was gorgeous weather. They played well. The defense was what we thought the defense was going to be. And it's interesting to see what it looks like when you can actually push the ball down the field a little bit.
Yeah, they dominated that second half.
Yes,
they
did.
Defense gave up negative 5 yards in the second half.
And it's a type of win you want to have. You know that the team came in, we all almost say San Diego Chargers, but the Los Angeles Chargers, they came in as a respected football team. Justin Herbert did play the first half. They knocked him out of the game.
Right.
And the Steelers were down 10-7 at halftime. I mean, I don't know about you, but I thought that Boswell was going to make that kick.
You know, he tried a 61 yarder, and you know it came up short, but I've seen him in warmups
nail
easily
it.
Hit that, so that was a little bit of a atypical kick for him, but regardless, They end up winning. They could have added a touchdown, but they took a knee.
They took the knee at the end. You know, it's interesting. Next week, if he has that shot next week, because it's going to be indoors at Indianapolis, he probably makes that kick. If it's in Atlanta, he probably makes that kick. It's Acrisure Stadium. It's not an easy place to kick, and it's grass.
Yeah, you don't really hold that one against him since he's been so solid. But here they are, 3-0, first time since, 2020? So
it's been a while.
On the road in Indy, then back the following Sunday night against the Dallas Cowboys.
Who is struggling. That team is struggling with their defense. I mean, the Steelers coming into this have a genuine opportunity to be 5-0 at a time where Cincinnati, they'll probably win tonight, but they could be 0-3. They got a two-game lead on the whole division, even if Cincinnati wins tonight. That's a pretty nice spot to be in when you're playing a Colts team that's okay, but with, in essence, a first-year quarterback, and then coming against a struggling Dallas team on a Sunday night game at Acrisure.
Yeah, and after next week, they'll be like a quarter of the way through the regular
season.
Hard
to believe, yeah. Right?
Well, meanwhile, over the weekend, I think, Lenny, and you probably relate to this, a lot of people, I included, want to detach from the heavy political rhetoric that's back and forth. However, over the weekend, there were a few developments. One was a sit-down that Donald Trump had where he was asked, if he doesn't win in November, will he go after the presidency again? Where he said, no. And I think they're counting on a win here, but it's neck and neck, and it's hard to predict. And then Kamala Harris raised a bunch of money over the weekend, so 43 days till the election. What's the October surprise do you anticipate? Or is there one this year? Have we exhausted all the big surprises?
The economy can always be one. I mean, people forget in 2008, they remember hope and change from then-Senator Obama. But once the October surprise, which came at the end of September, with the economic calamity that hit, they dealt with it two different ways. McCain dealt with it one way. Obama dealt with it a different way. And that changed that election. Now, the economic numbers right now seem to be going in the vice president's direction. I mean, the Fed cut the interest rate.
By a half point, which yes. Many experts thought a quarter point, but that was a big surprise to many.
Which they did that because inflation's going in the right direction. Gas prices are going in the right direction. The price of groceries are going in the right direction. Doesn't mean it's where it was, but it's going in the right direction. Now, if you can get one or two job reports that come out the first Friday of November and the first Friday of October, if those look good and these economic numbers go the right direction, that's an economic surprise that comes that helps Harris, which, by the way, that would probably lead to this October surprise, Donald Trump reversing field and saying, no, I want a debate. Because if you think about it, if the economy is not on his side and the immigration issue doesn't stick and reproductive rights is clearly against the Republicans and some of this other stuff that's out there is going against the GOP, he's going to need something that's going to help him with a bounce.
One other thing that you just mentioned is apparently Donald Trump said, well, we have the quote. He said it. He said, No more debates. It's too late. Some states, including South Dakota, have already started the mail-in ballot. The vote is on.
Yeah.
And we're right behind them here in Pennsylvania with the mail-in. So he's suggesting it's too late for that. We'll see. And I want to ask you about maybe an outside factor, and that is this whole P. Diddy story coming up next. Because I would imagine, Lenny, there are a lot of celebrities who have had encounters with Sean, you know, what's the official name now?
Oh, good Lord.
Because it's been
Sean Puffy Combs, Diddy, and
right. But
P. Diddy.
This story has a lot of people nervous, I would imagine, who are very famous, political or otherwise, movie stars, other artists. I mean, this could have an impact on
Larry, Jeff Epstein is back, and this time he's black.
Wow. Lenny McAllister on the Big K Morning Show. Details next. Dur, our inside political analyst, And this is a story that just really broke. I mean, it's been brewing for a while, but last week when Sean P. Diddy Combs was arrested for sex trafficking and racketeering charges and is being held without bond right now, but that's one story.
Yeah.
For those that don't know, he's very successful, maybe close to a billionaire with hip-hop, music career, wrote a lot of hit songs, produced others. And yet, there are ties and relationships with a lot of famous people for these alleged parties that he used to host, right?
Yeah.
And when you talk about sex trafficking, that's a whole new conversation. But yet, Donald Trump knew him. He came to his place in New York multiple times. Kamala Harris knew him.
Yep.
So both sides are trying to tie the two, see if anything sticks. But what is the deal? What is he really being charged with in terms of how depraved is this? It looks horrible.
I think the thing that comes up, and it unfortunately takes us back to the R. Kelly situation. You're talking about people being held against their will. You're talking about people being drugged, so consent's taken away. And then you're talking about sex trafficking. And it's the worst of the worst. And it's a situation where people live in these bubbles where they have so much money. They can pay people off. They can hide lawsuits where we never hear about this. And this is part of the avalanche of what you're seeing with Diddy now. This happened with R. Kelly years ago. This happened with Epstein. It's been hidden for so long that once the dam breaks, it breaks. And all these things come out. And it's not just something that happened 6 months ago or a year ago. It's something that happened 5 years ago, 10 years ago, 15 years ago. We're hearing about a rapes lawsuit civil settlement that Diddy's involved in that goes back to the 1990s. So now what we're hearing about is 30 years of a certain type of behavior. And that's what makes it so shocking to us now. Now, what's sad, Larry, is the fact that when it comes back to these political figures that you mentioned, these public figures, you know, 20 years ago, you know, again, I go back to Barack Obama. He basically won the Illinois U.S. Senate race because Jack Ryan had a sex scandal with his wife, Jerry Ryan, of Star Trek fame. And he dropped out of the race, which left Barack Obama as the only candidate to win in 2004. Nowadays, you have a sex scandal, and people not only don't drop out of the race, we saw somebody win the presidency, we have a gubernatorial candidate in North Carolina that they tried to get out of the race on Friday. He stayed in the race, and America, we will collectively, not you and me per se, but collectively, people will just ignore this in 2 weeks, whereas before, this was like one of the unpardonable sins that forced you out of politics and public life, and now it's just one of those shoulder shrugs, hey, I got an OnlyFans account as well, or hey, but that's not that big of a deal because the other side. And it's a very sad commentary as to where we are as Americans when it comes to how we view leadership and what our expectations are for leadership.
Well, according to the 14-page federal criminal indictment of Combs, they're saying he was responsible for coordinating days-long sexual parties known to the people involved as freak-offs and what some of the participants may or may not have known is that some of these people were being held against their will or, to your point, drugged. Elaborate and produced sexual performances is what the court documents say. Weaponized videos he filmed
yep.
to keep everybody quiet. Freak-off activity is the core of this case, and the freak-offs are inherently dangerous. So, don't know where this is going in terms of attachment, but some very famous people have ditched all their social media, cleansed all their ex, you know, I mean, they're still out there somewhere, but a lot of people don't want any affiliation for being associated with P. Diddy.
Is it too early for inside dirt, Larry? I mean, I know this is KDK, and I know this is Pittsburgh, and we're a wonderful city. Can I give you some inside dirt for 30 seconds?
Please do.
I was talking to a celebrity friend of mine 12 years ago. It was during the 2012 election cycle. Somebody that I was pretty close with, and he ended up getting himself into his own little scenario, and I will not name names. But that said, I remember sitting down with him after a television show that we had done together. We had gotten pretty close. And he started telling me about how, and this is something that you hear a lot in social media now, back to your point of scrubbing social media, that people knew you don't hang with Sean Puff Daddy, P. Diddy Combs after 12 o'clock at night because the whole tone of the environment changed. Now, this is somebody that he and I are both married, and so this wasn't really our world, but he knew about this in 2012. So there, yes, there are a lot of celebrities that not only knew about this for years on end, whereas if a political analyst can hear about it, you know people that are in the music industry know about it, and people are certainly going to be nervous because it's going to, those pictures, those videos, those shout outs are going to start tying them back to everything from, again, drug trafficking, because the ketamine, illegal use of that, illegal use of other substances, back to the sex trafficking, which goes back to, you know, kidnapping, terroristic threats, the weaponization of the videos, like you mentioned, and the like. This can be really, really big eventually when it goes down to who else is tied to this.
And they'll be looking to tie it to both candidates some way, somehow, and already have tried. And so we'll see, since both knew.
Yep.
And apparently a lot of people knew, and that's not suggesting everybody that knew him or even went to any event he had, that there were participants in this kind of behavior.
You know what may also come out, Larry, is who took a check from Diddy for their campaign over the years? That would be interesting, because Kamala Harris has run for multiple offices in California, and Donald Trump's been running for president since 2015. I would love to see if somebody comes out and says, this cash check from this organization, or this is specifically from Sean Diddy Combs, what do you do now? That would be explosive if that happens this week.
You're right. This is the Big K Morning Show. Thanks for choosing us. Larry Richard, and in studio this hour, our political analyst, homegrown, Lenny McAllister. But you have a really fascinating resume, actually. You wear many hats, and your day job is in education.
Yes,
and
it
you
is.
Just got back from San Diego doing...
We had an annual summit out there where we have an opportunity to talk about best practices, talk about the effectiveness of what we've been able to do well when it comes to education, talk about ways to be innovative, ways to meet the needs of families at a time where education remains to be a hot political topic, not just how do we fund it, but how and why is it effective? What kind of programs can our kids get? Can they get career training? Can they get dual credits between when they're in high school? Can they get college credit as well as high school credit? Can they get what we call tri-credits, which is get a certification in an industry, get college credit, continue to get through high school? So having a chance to talk about things like that in a gorgeous place such as San Diego and get a chance to go to the Pittsburgh Steelers Club of San Diego during the Steelers-Broncos game was pretty darn cool.
You know, it's amazing. Even though I really understand how many of these Steeler bars have their genesis, right? It's usually a displaced Pittsburgher who had to take a job whenever over the years or isn't. They always miss home, and the one common denominator is they're a fan of the Steelers. And
yes.
So this happened in Rome. Duquesne college students went to this little bar off of Piazza Navona near the Vatican, and they were looking to see if they could watch the Steelers game. And the guy is like smart, right? Giovanni Poggi's his name. He goes, well, if you bring more students in, yeah, I'll have the game for you. And that's how he became Steeler Bar. They're everywhere.
And they had black and gold everywhere. They sold T-shirts. They had a little blow-up mannequin in front of the place. Everybody wears jerseys. And I literally had a Pittsburgh-style salad, which included grilled chicken and French fries on top.
Well, San Diego is a beautiful place.
Yes.
We've had a sunny summer like I can't remember a summer that's had this much sunshine in Pittsburgh.
It's been gorgeous this whole summer, and it was actually cooler in San Diego than it was here when I left.
Yeah, even though it's on the Pacific Ocean, it's really comfortable. It's not hot and humid like, well, even Northern California when you get up to L.A., which isn't all that far away, really.
No, it's about 120 miles.
And then anywhere along the coast in Florida or on the eastern seaboard, it's always humid,
it's
windy.
It's sticky, yes.
Yeah, but San Diego's, yeah, there's, until you get into the mountains, it's a beautiful place.
Yeah, it is.
Anyway, so back to our talk about what comes next. So the candidates will continue. By the way, October 1st will be, and I would imagine there'll be a lot of interest in how the vice presidents can, or the candidates for vice president will do in a debate, because there is not going to be another debate between Donald Trump and Kamala Harris.
As of now.
As of now. Trump said over the weekend, no, too late. People are voting. That ship has sailed.
You know, again, part of it's going to be poll numbers. Part of it is Donald Trump's personality. He's the cult of personality. He likes having attention. And if you think about it from that perspective, is Donald Trump really going to want the last time he has millions of people watching him all at once to be in September? Even from that perspective, I think he's going to have one more debate. I think that there's not much that Governor Walz can do to anger the vice president on that ticket in that debate on October 1st. But J.D. Vance is underperforming as the VP nominee. There's rumblings that there are Trump people that are not really happy with how he's performing. The whole childless cat lady situation came out with him. The whole Springfield, Ohio issue, he continued to have going. He's not a pick that's bolstering that ticket. And he can do, I don't know if he can do much good on October 1st, but he can do more damage for that ticket on October 1st. And that's what's going to be interesting about how he deals with that debate with Walz coming up.
So J.D. Vance, freshman senator in Ohio, in his own state, suggested at Springfield, now this is 2 weeks old now, that there were Haitian illegal immigrants eating pets. The Republican governor of the state did an investigation. He said, quote, that's garbage. But they keep doubling down on this. Why don't they just let it go? And even Vance admitted, well, okay.
Larry, they found the cat in a lady's basement. The initial cat of the story, she found her cat. The cat was hiding in the basement.
Right. That's why do they keep doubling down on this and move on to something
because
more important?
Because it's tied indirectly into immigration. It ties indirectly into saying they're bringing thousands of people in that are, even if they're brought in legally, they're taking resources that your family can't get. And as inflation goes up and the cost of groceries go up and resources from your government goes down, it's going to people that are immigrants, newly minted immigrants, some legal, some not legal, in your small town. And this is why you have to vote for Donald Trump. It's a very convoluted tie back to an issue that they're winning on, but they're losing the messaging in the process now.
We talked to the borough manager of Charleroi on Friday, Joe Manning, and Joe's been getting calls from all over
yes.
the world because Charleroi has about 3% of immigrants from Haiti.
Yes.
He said they did their research, and I'm sure there are some illegal immigrants everywhere, but he said that they were here legally. And then people suggesting, well, they just gave a sweeping, you know, they allowed these people to come in. So are they going to deport all these people?
Here's what's also troubling in America these days. They've done polling. There's a significant portion of Americans that support mass deportation. So if you're seeing that in the polls, and the number one thing you're trying to do is win an election, not be ethical, not try to figure out a good solution. You're trying to win. And you see this reactionary polling. It's very easy to now pivot your messaging into that. And so when you're trying to talk to people in small towns like Charleroi, all across the nation, in swing states, including here in the Commonwealth, there's a message there that can resonate. And again, unfortunately, Larry, It's a message that doesn't poll highly. It's something. No one's going to go out and admit, yes, I'm scared of the brown-skinned immigrants. No one's going to say that in a poll. But they will. They may go vote that way. And that's what, unfortunately, the Trump ticket's counting on. That underrepresentation in the polls that you're seeing in September and going into October that will vote differently in November based on some of these sentiments that are being ratcheted up, whether it's in campaign ads or just on the campaign trail.
Lenny McAllister, some final thoughts coming up this hour, and we'll talk about the week, including the gathering of all the leaders, NATO in New York. Coming up, Pittsburgh Mayor Ed Gainey in studio. Lenny McAllister wrapping up our hour. You know the mayor, Lenny? Have you met before?
We went to high school together.
Come on, man. You went. Mayor, have a seat.
I didn't go. Well, you listen to you. He's disclaiming his Central Catholic roots.
Oh, that's right. You went to. Well, look, you got to tell me which one it was.
No. CCCENCENTRIL.
I love both. Don't get me wrong.
We'll fix that chair. Is that too low? That's like a.
You know, I knew Wheeler.
Mayor, I appreciate you coming.
Thank you. Am I on that?
You know, what is it? What is it with the central connection here in this town? It's Marty and Rich Fitzgerald was a great. All these people with that central connection. It's pretty amazing.
It is a special place.
Well, the mayor, appreciate you coming in today, Mayor.
Appreciate it. Thanks for having me.
We got a lot to talk about. And Lenny has a very long history in radio.
Okay.
Worked in Chicago.
Okay.
And also the Carolinas, right?
In Carolinas, yep.
North Carolina. He's in education. He wears many hats.
Right.
Indeed.
And we were just talking.
I wasn't going to stop you, Larry. You were going on and on. And I was, please.
I don't have time
continue.
To complete your entire resume.
Mayor's here. I need you to brag.
Well, what would you want to ask the mayor? Here he is, sitting right here in front of you. What would be the number one question, Lenny McAllister, for Pittsburgh Mayor Ed Gainey?
I guess the number one question I would ask, Ed, is this. You came into the office in 2021, which was still during the pandemic. You came in on the waves of social change, but the world is different now. So your campaign message has to be different, and what you have to offer Pittsburghers are different at a time where they're not feeling optimistic. How do you show them, one, an optimistic tone, but number two, a genuine optimistic direction, considering a lot of the challenges that you've had, including within the base of your support, the Black community, and some of the violence, some of the issues that have not changed in regards to the underclass? How do you show a different direction going into term two as you go into term two in 2025?
Yeah, first, I appreciate that question. You know, coming in, we did come in after the pandemic, and there were a lot of social issues, a whole lot of social issues. And one of the things I'll say is I'm not sure that, well, we're not out of it. You know, we can still see residue of the pandemic. And there's no question about that. When you talk about the hope in the city and the fact that the hope in the country has been so pessimistic in recent years is due to a pandemic, coming out of one. When you look back at other eras where you had this level of a social condition, it's taken some time to come out of a pandemic. And this being considered one of the worst pandemics in the history of the world, there's no difference. Do I think that we're on track? Absolutely. I also think that when you talk about the pessimistic feeling that people have, we're also talking about on a national level how divisive our politics is. We have a very divisive political system. When you talk about the violence in the community, that's one of the things that, you know, I focused on a whole lot. You know, to be able to sit here today and say last year we were down 27% in homicides and we're close to being down to 30% in homicides this year. When you talk about the fact that our youth, we're down in terms of homicides with youth, those are positive signs for me. Those are signs that I take extremely serious because I want everyone to have a life. And I believe in the words of Frederick Douglass that if you raise a child upright, you don't have to repair a broken man. And so a lot of the investments that we did from making sure that we created the youth civic leadership program and partnering with Partners for Work, so that the kids that come through the program get paid a stipend to learn about government, something that you know quite too well in our communities they didn't know growing up. Secondly is getting three college credits from CCAC, partnering with CCAC to give them three college credits. Now creating a youth commission, the youth commission to continue to talk about elevating youth in our city, I think is a positive. When you talk about the impact that we've had on the minority community, I understand you mean the black community, first time in the history of the city that we had three black primes on major construction projects. It's never happened before in the history of the city. I think that's phenomenal. And I also think it's sad that we had to wait till 2024 to get that when other cities have done it in the past. The more we diversify our portfolio, the more the city grows. And so just sitting back and thinking about that, first time ever having a police contract without arbitration in over 20 years. First time we had a fire contract without arbitration in over 10 to 15 years. Those are things that says progress.
But yet
when
But yet we have not closed the gap between cities that we compete with and Pittsburgh. What do we do that's tangible to close that? And I know that Larry wants that question. He has to go to break, but maybe you can answer that question on the other side of the break. And Larry, I know I got to get out of here.
All right. Lenny McAllister, thank you.
Appreciate it.
Mayor Ed Gainey, appreciate you being here. More to come. Good morning. This is the Big K Morning Show. Welcome to the first week of fall, and we're honored to have the mayor, the city of Pittsburgh, Ed Gainey, in studio. Mayor, good to see you again.
Thank you for coming in. Good to see you, Larry. Thanks for having me.
A lot of people excited about, first, the Pittsburgh Steelers. Just as the mayor, what an impact that image and that football team brings to this city. It's extraordinary.
Absolutely, and it's well-deserved. When I first came in, I had an opportunity to meet with Mr. Rooney, the first thing we talked about was the draft and the fact that I believe that the NFL seriously owed him to bring the draft to this city with six Super Bowls, and that we would do whatever we need to do from a city perspective to help him bring that draft here. I think it's something that is, you know, that should be here, one. Two is owed to the Rooneys, and we worked diligently to make it happen. I did, you know, whatever I had to do, whatever the Rooneys asked me to do to make that happen, that's what I did. I take my hat off to the Rooneys, and I congratulate them and thank them for the work that they put in to bring the drafts here.
It was a collaborative effort to make it happen, so you had to be on board with, you know, everybody in the region, really, not just the team. So that's a point of controversy. So there's $1 million, you say, is budgeted to help support to bring the draft here April 2026. And the amount of money that it can potentially bring to the region, as we saw in Detroit, is stunning.
Very stunning. In Detroit, they brought in $213 million. Kansas City, $164 million. Nashville, $223 million. And we're looking to bring in more money than that. You know, I said when this first happened that we'll probably get 1 million people in our city. And people was like, wow, that's ambitious. But really, it's not. Detroit has 775,000 people. The reason why I believe we can get 1 million is because, Larry, wherever I go in the United States, one thing I'm for sure to see is a Steeler tavern, Steeler bar, Steeler restaurant. And the people get so excited talking about this city and talking about the team that I have no question that there'll be a lot of grandfathers that will be coming home and grandmamas that will be coming back to the city to bring their grandkids, to show them where they grew up at, what school they went to, why they love this city. You know, I often say to people what I've learned is that people live in other cities. They live in other cities, no question. But this city is their home. And that's the way they feel about Pittsburgh. They feel that this is their home. And that as long as they feel that this is their home, they're so excited about the draft that 1 million people is not hard at all for us to achieve.
And so how do you answer the critics that say, $1 million, we ain't got $1 million to spend on a draft?
The money's already been budgeted, so we do. I mean, that's number one, we do. The money's already been budgeted. So it's not like we're going into the next 2 years that we know we'll be lean and tight. The money is already budgeted. So since the money is already budgeted, we don't have to worry about that.
That said, post-pandemic, there are financial challenges for every city because there were federal dollars that won't be there in the same. And due to the pandemic, there aren't as many people working downtown. Although you hear Amazon saying first of the year, they're making all their people come back. Are you hearing more and more that people will be called back to the offices in the city?
You know, Larry, I think it's a mixed bag. I think people are still dealing with what is the best way going forward to have their employees come back or what is the hybrid that they need to adopt. So I think it's a mixed bag. When I heard Amazon say that, of course, I was excited. But we've been very, very diligent and prudent with our fiscal management. Last week, I'm sure you know the bond rating agencies moved us from an AA- to AA, which is a higher bond rating. And so, you know, when you hear a lot of people talk about the budget, we've come forward all the time and said that our budget is stable and that we will continue to do what's necessary to ensure that we don't go into a deficit. I know many people reported and wrote that we would, but that was a negative. As you know, we will end this year in a surplus. And it feels good that it's not just us saying it, right? When you got the bond rating agencies saying we're going to move you from AA- to AA, that speaks volumes of our fiscal management that we did in this city to assure that we have a healthy budget.
We're with Pittsburgh Mayor Ed Gainey in studio. So, Mayor, the other issues, so you mentioned crime, but I think it's important to reiterate that, is addressing crime in the city.
Mm-hmm.
Where do we stand today compared to where we were a year or two ago?
Yeah, so 2 years ago, we had 71 or 72 homicides when I came in. My first year coming in, it was 71 or 72 homicides. Last year, it was only 51 homicides. We had a 27% reduction in homicides. This year, we're close to 30% reduction in homicides. The challenge that we had was that we were short when it came to police staffing. We went 2 years before I became mayor of not hiring one police officer. And that didn't take into account also the officers that would retire. So we had to deal with that. As of right now, we've already put on 3 police classes. We're looking to put on some more. There's nothing that we can do looking backwards and saying, hey, the 2-year hiatus really put us behind eight ball. I want to give the Pittsburgh Police Department a lot of credit. Even with the officers that we have, and even though, again, we're putting on some classes, for us to have close to a 30% reduction in homicides and in youth homicides, we have less youth homicides now than we've had in the past, it is a credit to them and the community working together to ensure life over everything. So I'm very proud of them. I'm very proud of that record. And that's not something a lot of states can say or cities.
When we come back, Mayor, why do you want this job again? You just announced your campaign for reelection. We'll talk. This is the Big K Morning Show. We continue our conversation with Pittsburgh Mayor Ed Gainey in studio. Mayor, why do you want to be the mayor for another term? All you get, you know, this feedback, and you came through the pandemic and all this stuff. Why do you want to do this?
One, I love this city. I mean, that's the number one reason why I love this city. And the opportunity to be able to lead coming out of a pandemic still is a challenge to me. I mean, we're still dealing with remnants from the pandemic. There's no question about it. But the ability to be able to make the city safe, welcoming, and thriving is something that I get up every day excited about doing. I'm never one that shies away from the tough questions. I've never been one to shy away from the controversy. And I've never been one to get my head so big based on the praise that we receive. I just don't. I get up every day with how can we make this city better. And learning how to deal with emergencies as emergencies come up. There's always the long planning, Larry, and we do that quite well. But we also have to be able to deal with the emergencies that come up in our city. And I take pride in that. I love this city. This city raised me. I'm a son of this city. And I tell you all the time, I couldn't be more prouder. I couldn't be more proud of the city that we live in. I get up every day excited about this city. You know, and I know this city has dealt with a lot. From being siloed to segregation, to some of the racial issues that we've had to deal with, that you've heard on the news that we've talked about frequently. But even in all that, like, I wouldn't be who I am without it. Like, I don't look at it as being a negative. I wouldn't be who I am without it. And I wouldn't be prepared to lead this city if I didn't go through the adversity that I had to go through. I always looked at adversity as my friend because it didn't come to hurt me. It came to build me. I can't get knowledge without going through a problem that we have to solve. And there's no better teacher than the city of Pittsburgh.
Mayor, what is a misconception about you that you can address right now? A lot of people listening.
I think the biggest misconception is that we wouldn't be able to do what we said we would do. And we've done it. You know, the reduction in homicides, we said that was going to be one of our biggest focus. Coming in, you can't feel safe unless you have a reduction of homicides. Secondly, is just making the city feel welcoming, being able to welcome everybody, make everybody feel like and know that this city is their home. is getting up every single day and working to make this place a better place, making sure that we build more affordable housing so that we can stabilize the housing market. We've done that. Our zoning amendments that we're putting together right now will continue to have us invest in affordable housing. We got unprecedented. In 2 years, 12 low-income tax credit deals from the state. First time, unprecedented, to be able to talk about how we can build more affordable housing. Our fiscal management. Listen, Larry, the bond rating agencies, they don't politic. This is raw, how is your budget looking type of a conversation.
That's actuarial.
Absolutely. To go from AA minus to AA in the midst of losing the federal ARPA money, in the midst of doing the things that we have to do, demonstrates that when your bond agencies are saying, listen, we see the fiscal responsibility that you're taking and we enjoy it. We see how you invested back in your core city services and how your services are better in the city. That's amazing to me because it lets us know that we're on the right track. And let me tell you something else that feels good to let us know that we're on the right track. The NFL is a $1 billion industry. They could go anywhere in the United States, anywhere.
Even a city that doesn't anywhere. Have an NFL team.
But here's the catch. They probably been here, 24, 36 times without us knowing? Because they're going to vet our city with all that they have because they're not going to risk the brand to get that call and say, we have chosen your city for the 2026 draft. That's another outside agency that has come into our city and has done the work, vetted the city to say that you are on the right track and we are bringing the draft to your city. That's an amazing, one, feeling. And two, it's amazing contribution to my team for the work that they've put in.
How did you find out ultimately, being a part of the planning and that went to the NFL to propose Pittsburgh, how did you find out that we got it?
I got a call from Mr. Rooney. First call was from Mr. Rooney. The other ones was from everybody else that was involved. And Mr. Rooney said, I just wanted to let you know that we got it.
Nice.
And that was a great feeling because, again, Larry, when I came into this job, this city was on fire. A shooting every week on the South Side. We don't have that no more. We don't have a shooting every week on the South Side. And I thank you, and I thank the law enforcement and also thank the community over there. I mean, before I came in for 15 years, that's all I heard was every week there's a shooting on the South Side. Carson Street is on fire, the whole nine. We don't hear about that no more. Those are the issues that I'm saying that we came in and we cleared up. And so when I say thank you to the police and the community, I'm saying it because not just for me, I'm saying it for our city because we're saving lives. When I talk about a 27% reduction last year in homicide, close to 30% this year, that's saving lives. So I'm very grateful. So when you ask me, I want this job, that's why. It's an honor to see those type of results and continue to look forward. And that's what we do.
What are you saying to the stakeholders in the city that are trying economically to get people to come back to the city, including in offices?
Yeah, well, we support that wholeheartedly. We talked before about certain businesses talking about they want their employees to come back to work for 5 days. And we know that some are still dealing with what does the hybrid model look like and what we can do. I think that as a business community, they're continuing to come together to figure out exactly how we as a city can support that. And whatever that is, we're going to support it. We've been very focused on our neighborhoods and developing our neighborhoods. That's why our homicides is down. But we've also been very focused on downtown to ensure that we turn downtown into a neighborhood. I mean, the deals that we got right now to turn Smithfield Lofts and others into housing continues our efforts to make sure that we create a neighborhood in a downtown setting.
Mayor, appreciate your time. I know you got a busy schedule. Come see us again.
Certainly will, Larry. And thank you. I appreciate it.
And personally, I think one of your best hires was Larry Scarano, your police chief. He seems to have the right approach and tone, and I think he's made a lot of progress. So
It's been amazing. So when you asked me about this journey, it's putting people like that in place to make a difference. And we will continue to make a difference. Larry, look, when I came in, the bridge fell. We got the bridge up in record time. And not only that, Larry, we have no more bridges in failing condition. We have poor bridges that we're working on right now. But the failing bridges were the ones that we were concerned most about because those were the ones that was in emergency condition. We have no more. We've cleared them.
Mayor Ed Gainey, City of Pittsburgh. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
All right. Artie, good morning.
Did you ever run track, like as a sprinter?
No.
Okay. I did. And I wasn't that fast, but I would start in the lead lane. So you're ahead.
Okay.
And then you've heard this saying, I heard footsteps. You literally hear footsteps. You actually do. When the faster brothers would catch me, fly by me.
Right.
The goofy white kid from Central. Okay. Flip that. Mr. Trump was the sprinter who started in the lead lane. Guess what he's doing? Footsteps, brother.
You think?
Please. Come on, man. You see the polls? Her people's confidence in her is up 17 points. It's never happened, ever, in any polling. My man is hearing footsteps. Why? A campaign of hate versus a campaign of hope makes a difference. If your dad came home and told you every day you were fat, and your mom came home and told you every day she loved you, who are you hanging with? Huh?
Yeah, that's not too far off. People deal with the Latin
right.
life.
That's right, bro. Today's my wife's birthday.
Oh.
Gorgeous woman. Love that.
You were at a big shot wedding Saturday.
Arianna Bazzi, one of the sweetest, kindest people on earth, and her boyfriend Alex, who I love to death, and Big Daddy Richard. It was an amazing wedding. I got to give Bazzi love. He
stepped up.
He made it right.
Congrats to her, and happy birthday to Christine.
She's amazing, my wife. She puts up with me. And I'm a lot of work.
Really?
I'm a pain in the ass.
Really? What are you working on today? What are
I
you talking
nothing.
About?
I'm kidding.
I got nothing.
Hey, we have, and you know this, brother, we have two legit football teams in this town now.
How about that?
How weird.
How about the Steelers shutting in? Now, people have to understand, the Chargers came in here with the, on paper, the best run game and the top defense.
Larry,
they shut them down.
No, they kicked their ass.
They were stunned when they left Pittsburgh.
So hold on. You're an insider. You kiss more butt than anyone over there. Are they keeping Russell Wilson on the bench or not?
I think at this point...
What do you know?
No, for sure. I don't know for sure.
Yeah, you do. You and Mr. Rooney talk every night.
Yeah, right. I think you go with the hot hand. Justin Fields is making it happen. Ran for a touchdown, threw for a car. I mean...
I'm Russell Wilson sitting on the sidelines picking my behind, thinking, I don't care, man. I'm making $33 million picking my nose. You know what I'm saying, bro?
He's cool.
That's what I'm saying.
I saw him and his wife went to Children's Hospital last week. You know, he's always seems
really
happy,
cute.
Really nice. He seems like a really nice guy. But you got the hot hand who's, you know, they're 3-0.
All right, so we're going to start off the show with these polls. All you Trumpers, buckle up, Buttercup.
Uh-oh. Here comes Marty. All right, Marty.